Okay. Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Chaf Aleph in Menachos. We are continuing from yesterday's daf. We're right on pace. Okay. The topic of today, as it was yesterday, is going to be the topic of salting. And Parshas Vayikra and Perek Beis, so by the Karban Mincha, so the Torah says there's a requirement to salt our Karbanos. We got into the discussion yesterday because we talked about, as we began the third parak, really not that long ago, we spoke about what's li'kuva, what's absolutely necessary, which parts of the process are necessary. So by carbon, we know the answer is dam, really the blood. The avoda by the blood is the essential part of the avoda. What about by menachos, right, which is our mesechta? What's essential by menachos? So the Torah tells us, machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, but generally speaking, it's the parts that the Torah repeats. Anything the Torah repeats, shana hakra li'kuva. So, and then the Gemara says, what about salting? And so we find salting twice in the Torah. We find it in Parshas Korach. We find it again, going backwards, in Parshas Vayikra. So we do find salting mentioned twice. And the Pasuk in Vayikra is significant. So the Gemara says, I might have thought that teaches me that's li'kuva, that's essential. And the Gemara yesterday said, no, because that Pasuk in Parshas Vayikra is telling me which karbanos I need to salt. In other words, so that's a special pasuk describing the halacha of which karbanos I need to salt. So that really is taken out of the discussion. It's taken out of the equation. It really leaves us only the pasuk in Parshas Korach. And the Gemara says, yeah, but it says bris melach. And once it says bris melach, it's a covenant. So the word bris means it's important. It's very important. It's essential. And so, okay, so that's what we got to yesterday. And then, of course, as long as we got into the discussion of, oh, by the way, which karbanos need to be salted, so that led the discussion of, yeah, which karbanos do actually need to be salted. So we were trying to ascertain as to what exactly is the criteria in terms of what needs to be salted. So the general rule is, we learned it out yesterday, it was a brisa, it was not an easy brisa, admittedly. The brisa started in Chaf Amud Aleph, and we went through the whole brisa, and then the Gemara went over the brisa again, trying to figure out what Pshat the brisa is. It's basically a klalu prada klal. It's a general, specific general. And the specific over here is the Karban Mincha, meaning salting is actually mentioned by the Karban Mincha, even though it applies to all other Karbanos as well. Here it is. And so it's generally a klalu prada klal. And we said anything which is Mincha-like is going to go on to the Mizbeach. What do we exclude in terms of salting? What doesn't need to be salted? So answer number one is blood. Blood doesn't need to be salted. So when I throw the blood onto the Mizbeach, so I don't need to salt the blood. That's already number one. What else doesn't need to be salted? So that's what we were trying to figure out yesterday. We got through the daf yesterday. Chaf Amud Beis went in and explained to us how we know that blood is not to be included, even though blood is a matir, like the Komet says. And even though blood becomes disqualified as Shkiyah Sachama, like the Komet says, even though there are some similarities to blood and Komets, and even though, of course, we sprinkle the Komets with salt, but we're not going to sprinkle the blood with salt. Okay, Amar, we're going to take one short step backwards, then we're going to take a big step forward. We're going to start on Chaf Amud Beis again. We did this yesterday, but it's one thread, one thought. So let's do it. Two lines from the top of the previous Amud. Amar Shomei Ani Afilu Eit Sim. V'dam shenikru carbon. My shamat le'damer Eit Sim Ikrei carbon. So we saw this yesterday. Wood is a carbon. Now, between you and me, wood is not a carbon. Meaning, wood is put onto the mizbech in order to burn the carbon. But, as we're going to see in just a moment, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is that wood can be treated like a carbon. It's actually called a carbon. So the Gemara says, Rebbe. So Rebbe Yehuda Anasi is the one who says that wood is treated like a carbon. So the Rebbe me by Baal Malach. So the Gemara says, according to Rebbe, in other words, we don't hold this way, but according to Rebbe, where wood is actually treated like a carbon, so then salt it. D'tanya carbon malamish shemis nadvin eitzim. A person, if he wants to, can actually say, I want to offer wood as a carbon. Again, this is all according to Rebbe. V'kama. So first of all, how much wood? So shnei gzirim, so it's two logs. V'chein ha'omer v'agarolos yiflino al carbon ha'itznim. Okay? In Parsha. In Sefer Nehemiah, so when they come back to Eretz Yisrael, so a small population of people came back to Eretz Yisrael. The vast majority of them stayed in Bavel. Life was good in Bavel. So the and they had to figure out how to divvy up all the karbanos that are going to be brought on the second temple. And the pasuk says that we had a goral, we had a lottery, who was going to supply the wood. But the pasuk in Nechemiah doesn't say wood; it says karban eitzim, right? So that means it's a pretty good indication that wood can be brought as a karban. So Rabbi Omer eitzim karban minchahim. Rabbi says, you know what? Wood, we're going to treat it just like a mincha. Just like a mincha. And utunin melech, utunin hagasha, it needs salt according to Rabbi. It needs hagasha, you need to actually bring the wood to the mizbeach like you would with a mincha. V'amar rav l'divrei Rabbi eitzim tunin kemitza. We'll go one step further. I love this part. Right? Where according to Rabbi, you have to do kemitza with the wood. I have this picture of, you know, the kung fu expert taking his hand and putting it right into the wood. Okay, but in other words, fine. Maybe you ground it up into salt. No, I don't know how you do kemitza. Okay, it doesn't matter. However, it's done. The amar of papa ledivrei Rabbi eitzim tzrichim eitzim. And just one more step over here. According to Rabbi, eitzim tzrichim eitzim, that, you know, wood requires wood. Meaning, because if I'm going to treat a piece of wood like a mincha, well, I know if I put the mincha on the mizbeach, I need wood underneath to burn it. So if wood is being offered as a karban, so I got to put wood underneath it to burn the wood. Even though wood itself, of course, is inflammatory, but that doesn't matter. Okay. The point is that if you're telling me that we're subscribing to the viewpoint of Rebbe, so then wood does require salt. So we're kind of stuck, meaning we're trying to figure out what's included and what's excluded. According to Rebbe, don't exclude wood. Wood needs to be salted. So the Gemara says, Sami Mikan Eitzim. Okay, so you know what? Go back to the Braisa on the previous Amud and take out the word wood, meaning wood is not going to be excluded. So the Gemara says, Vela Krala Mute Mai. Okay, so if wood is being excluded, so, and we have a pasuk that excludes, let me say that better. If wood is taken out of the list, meaning wood does require salting, and we know that we need to exclude something, so what's left to be excluded? Because essentially now, in other words, and don't, blood already is out of the whole discussion. Leave blood out of the whole equation. Yeah, just close the door. Leave blood out of the whole equation, because blood already we know from the word mincha v'lo damcha. So we already know blood's out of the discussion. So, and we have something to exclude. What are we going to exclude? So, ilimute dami amenchas chanafka. The Gemara says, just made my point, I'm sorry. And if it's blood, so we already know blood is excluded because it says amenchas cha. And afik eitzim v'ayon l'sachim. So the Gemara says, okay, so we'll do this. We'll take out the wood, because according to Rabbi, wood is a carbon and wood requires salt. And we'll insert nesachim, ditanya. And the Gemara says, look, we have the following brace. We're on the top now of Chafal Famad Aleph. Aval hayayin v'adam v'aitim v'aktores ain't to an emelach. Wine, blood, wood, and ketores do not require salt. Okay, good. In other words, so we do have something to substitute wood with, and that is salt. Okay, so the Gemara points out, however, it's going to be a little bit rough. Because in this brisa that we just quoted, it says wine, blood, and wood doesn't need to be salted. The Gemara says, wait a second, we were just entertaining the opinion of Rebbe, and this brisa that we just quoted obviously doesn't subscribe to Rebbe's viewpoint, money. E Rebbe Kashia Eitzim, Gemara says exactly that. If this brisa is authored by Rebbe, we know Rebbe treats wood like a mincha, wood needs to be salted, and E Rabban and Kashia Ketares, and according to the Chachamim, Ketores. On the previous Amud, we said that as long as it has an accompaniment, it's going to require salting. Ketores, the incense, bizarre as that sounds, is going to require salting, according to the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, Haitanu hu detanya. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll introduce you to a new Tana. Detanya with Tana Breiser, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osha, Rav Yochanan ben Broka Omer, okay, here we go. In this brisa, it's going to be the same formula. Klal uprat uklal, like we said yesterday, right? We're going to darshan melach mincha melach, right? Klal uprat uklal. And the way he's going to understand the prat is different than the way we understood it yesterday. What's noteworthy about the mincha. Maha prat mefurish davash makabel tumah. So number one, it has to be something which is susceptible to tumah. The ola leishim, and it goes on to the, and it's burned on a fire. The yeshno amizbeach achitzon, and it's offered on the outer mizbeach. Okay, perfect. Meaning, so you see, what we have in the mincha, there are three characteristics of the mincha that we're looking at. It has to A, be makabel tumah, B, be burnt on the fire, and C, be burnt on the outer mizbeach. Mincha is only burnt on the outer mizbeach. I've called them makabel tumah, v'ol alishim yeshno amizbeach achitzon. So now, if this is the formula, so we'll plug the formula in, and we'll see what comes out. Yatzuekzim shein makablam tumah. Now, wood is not makabel tumah. Wood, logs of wood is not makabel tumah. Remember, wood is only makabel tumah when it's a kli, when it's a utensil. And specifically by utensil, we mean like the styrofoam cup, except for the fact that it's styrofoam, right? But in other words, it has a toch, right? It's a kli, it can hold contents in it. That's a kli. Wood is not makabel tumah. Now, Rashi does point out over here that if, yes, it's true, we say very often that the wood of the mizbech is mekabel tumah, but Rashi points out, Rashi is the fourth line down. Look at the second parak of Psachim, you'll see that the Gemara over there says that wood on the mizbech is mekabel tumah. Rashi points out that's only a din derabbanan, that's not min haTorah. Mishum chibas hakodesh, we have this concept of chibas hakodesh, a love of the Beis HaMikdash, love of things that are holy, that are going on to the Mizbeach. That's a rabbinic concept, that's not min haTorah. Ukra asmachta ba'amla hi daha eitza ba'amla mekabel tumah. Wood is not mekabel tumah, just logs of wood is not mekabel tumah. So according to this Tana, wood is to be taken out of the discussion. Wood doesn't require salt. Net back to the Gemara. Yatsu dam b'yayin she'en olam le'ishim. Blood and wine are not burnt on the fire. Remember, wine and blood is sprinkled on the side, and the wine is poured down the southwest corner of the mizbech, and it goes right down the pipes. The wine is not burnt. Yatsu kitaris she'eno amizbech achitzon, and kitaris is mekabel tumah, kitaris is burnt, but not on the outer mizbech. So kitaris is also left out of the discussion as well. Left out of the obligation for melech. Good. So that's fine. So we have this Tana. Once we found this Tana, so then we're fine. Now we have successfully located a Tana who leaves wood, wine, blood, and ketores out of the melech requirement. We do have a Tana that leaves it out, and we are good and we're fine. Okay. Good. For this point forward now, we're going to come back, we're going to discuss salting in more detail, but look what we pretty much are at, the place that we're at. Most karbanos require salt, right? Almost all, right? I'm sorry, all karbanos require salt, right? Kol karbancha, all karbanos require salt, just different parts of a karban sometimes doesn't require salt, like the blood, like the libations that come together with it, and like the Ketores, they don't require the salt obligation. The Gemara says that we learned from here that blood doesn't require salt. Let's for a moment ignore that, or let's forget that for a moment, and let's say blood does require salt. It's going to be a little bit strange. Meaning, that means that before I sprinkle the blood onto the Mizbeach, we're entertaining the notion, okay, again, remember, it doesn't, but let's entertain the notion that I first have to salt the blood and put it onto the Mizbeach. Okay, those remember the good old days. I don't remember the good old days. I never shechted chickens in my... Phil, you do remember the good old days. You bought the chicken and you brought it home and then you had to salt it. I mean, don't get me wrong, we still salt it, but, you know, we're in America. We're industrialized. The best we're going to see is a bone in the meat, but we're not going to get our hands dirty with the shechting and the processing of the salt because we're good and American and a little bit spoiled, but just a little bit. So, but in the good old days, so how did you get rid of the blood in the meat? You know, you're not allowed to eat the blood of an animal. Okay, one of the Yisurim of the Torah, Chayv Kares, if you eat blood of an animal. So how do you get rid of the blood? So you salt it. So salt is a means in which it extracts blood from the animal. And interestingly enough, which we're going to talk about right now, once blood gets salted, you still can't eat the blood, but it's not chayiv kares. And what we will talk about over the next little bit is that there's going to be a direct correlation between the ability to sprinkle blood onto the mizbeach and its iser kares. Meaning, the two correlate with one another. If I can take blood and sprinkle it onto the mizbeach, so then eating that blood would bring about a liability of an iser kares. If I can't sprinkle the blood onto the mizbeach, so then eating that blood would not produce a liability of kares. Okay? The two correlate with one another. And so what the Gemara is going to ask very simply is, wait a second. If you're salting the blood, so then you just basically disqualified it to be sprinkled onto the Mizbech, because we know, and we'll get all the facts straight in just a moment, and we'll see the sources in just a moment, we know that once blood gets salted, there's no Iser Kares to eat that blood. It's still Usser, to make it clear, it's still Usser to eat that blood, but it's not an Iser Kares. So how can we even entertain the notion, how can we even entertain the notion that when we have blood, before we sprinkle onto the Mizbech, we're supposed to salt it? Once you salt it, that's it. You can't sprinkle it anymore. And this is exactly what's going to bother the Gemara. El time de mi ate kra ledam. Halav hachi hava amina dam li bayim melach. Without the drasha, we would have entertained the idea that blood requires salt. And the Gemara asks very powerfully, Kevin de malche nafak le mitaras dam. Once you salt it, it leaves the status of blood. Right? The Amr Ziri, Amr Rabbi Chanina, Dam Shabishlaina over Allah. Blood that's cooked. You're not over Allah. You don't violate the Isser Kares for eating cooked blood. Rav Yehuda Amar Ziri, Dam Shemalcho Eino over Allah. You're not going to be Chayev Kares if you salt blood. Now, if you're not going to be Chayev Kares, so then you won't be able to sprinkle onto the Mizbeach. The two correlate with one another. Rav Yehuda Didei Amar Evam Shet Salam Ve'elam So, and just as a side point, the Gemara adds in that Rav Yehuda himself says that if you roast the limbs of a karban before putting it onto the mizbeach, you miss out on reich nichoch. You remember back in Zvach Mandaf Memvav, we talked about the six kavanas that you need when you offer a karban, right? The main kavana is lishma and l'shem ba'alim. Those are your two main kavanas. But the Gemara over there added four other kavanas. One of the four other kavanas that we mentioned is reich nichoach. Right? As every...
Reich and nichoach?
No, I think it's one. It's counted as one. Don't ask me right now what the other three are, okay, because that would require me to remember. Okay. I don't have the other three down, but one of the other four is reich nichoach. You have all six?
L'shem Zeva, L'shem Zeva, L'shem
Hashem. Right.
L'shem Reyach, L'shem Yoach, Nichoach.
Oh, I'm sorry. L'shem Yishim. It has to be on the fire. Okay. The main two are L'shem Karban, L'shem Balam. Right? That's the main two. And then one of them is Reyach Nichoach. And if you roast it, remember, you know your neighbor is barbecuing because you go outside and you smell it and, you know... Lahavdil, that's, you know. So, you know, that's how you know your neighbor's barbecuing, and worse than that, he didn't invite you. So the... but it's on record. But as far as the Reich Nichoch requirement is concerned, it means that you got to put it on the Mizbech raw. If you roast it before putting on the Mizbech, you lost that special halach of Reich Nichoch. That simply comes in as a sidebar over here. Anyway, back to the main point. Main point is, once you salt blood, it's no longer blood. So how can we even entertain the notion that I'm supposed to salt blood before putting it onto the Mizbech? I've disqualified it from its status of blood. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, look, salting for this purpose doesn't require you to heap on a lot of salt. So I might have thought as a Havamina, just put a couple of grains of salt on it, do the mitzvah, don't disqualify it. It'll still have the shame dam. It'll still have the status of blood, and sprinkle it. That's where we are in terms of the Havamina, and that's why we have a Jerusha that rejects even that notion as well. Okay, good. Okay, so we will divert our attention now for about 15 lines until the lines become wide. We're going to divert attention for just a little bit, discussing this issue of when blood loses its status of blood and you won't be chayv karis. Now, this discussion comes up in Krisus. This is really a Krisus discussion because the Mishnah in Krisus, the first Mishnah in Krisus, which we seem to quote very often, because it really is such a basic Mishnah, talks about the 36 Yisurim in the Torah where there's a chayv kares, where the liability, the punishment is going to be kares. One of the 36 is eating blood. One is not allowed to eat the blood of an animal. Eating blood of an animal is chayv kares.
Not yours.
What? Any animal.
No, I'm talking about not yours.
Oh, yeah. Your own blood is fine. Right. Okay, there's an issue of Marasayin, but right? An issue of Marasayin that also comes up in the Gemara Krisus. Right? Not above, I think. No, anyway, I guess we'll find out. Anyway, there's an, right? But eating the blood of an animal is an issakares. So we're going to, as long as we touched on the issue of salting blood and it losing its status of blood, so we're going to touch on other issues of when blood loses its status of blood. Now, even when it loses its status of blood on a kares level, you're still not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to eat blood even if it's not an issakares. Meaning it may just drop down, it downgrades to a lav. It's a negative prohibition without it being an issakares. But still, a lav is a lav. It's a negative prohibition of the Torah. But still, what we are going to discuss is when does it lose its status of dam? So, Amar Gufa, Amar Ziri, Amar Rebbe Chanina, Dam Shebishlo, and over our love. So, Ziri quotes in the name of Rebbe Chanina, but we'll just simply call this from this point forward Ziri's halacha, is that once it cooks, ain't or over our love. Now, mind you, I have not cooked blood. Okay, so I haven't tried this at home. I didn't experiment last night. But apparently, and it would be weird, I admit, but the Rashi tells us, and we're going to assume, that when blood gets cooked, it congeals, it hardens.
Yeah, it gets black also.
It gets black.
Yeah, because you're the French maker, something goes black,
blood
sausage.
Oh, wow. So many people know what you're talking about, and I have no earthly clue as to what you're saying.
Are you allowed to eat it by halacha? No.
Okay. All right. Okay. Good. People here are more worldly than I am. and it does congeal. Phil, it does congeal. All right. Okay. Fine. Anyway, so the Ziri tells us like this. So if blood gets cooked, and again, the assumption is that once it's cooked, it's so you don't violate the halacha of kares. You're not going to get the punishment of kares for eating such blood once it's cooked and congealed. So Yosef Rava v'kamar leila hashmaita esve abaye. So Rava now is saying over the halacha of Ziri. So Rava and Abaye, of course, are the ones they're always having their dialogue. Their chavrusas there, and they end up arguing often, but here they're arguing and learning, meaning, so when Abaye hears this, Abaye says, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound right. Why? Because he has a braisa. The braisa says very clearly that if you hikfas adam, if you congeal the blood, or himcha es achelav, or if you take fat, which is a hard substance, meaning we're talking about the hard fat of the animal, and you liquefy it, and here application of heat actually liquefies it, and you swallow it chayiv. In both cases, you're going to be chayiv. But the first part of the braisa says very clearly that if I congeal blood and I eat congealed blood, I'm going to be chayiv. And chayiv over here means chayiv kares. Okay, so that's a problem. So this braisa seems to blatantly contradict what Ziri says. Ziri says is that the hardening and the solidifying of blood removes it from the issur kares, and this braisa says, no, it doesn't. It's still chayv kares. So the Gemara attempts to give an answer. Lo kasha kan sheikva ba'or kan sheikva b'chama. So the Gemara's answer is, well, it depends how you solidified it. If you solidified it in fire versus if you solidified it in the sun. Now again, I didn't go home last night. I didn't experiment. And even if I did, I didn't have the sun last night. But I didn't experiment. But the I didn't know. No. And the Rashi explains that the Gemara's assumption is, going into this answer, that if it was solidified with blood, it's undoable. It's irreversible. If I solidified it with fire, thank you. Everyone's listening. If I solidified it with fire, so it's irreversible. And so therefore, it is a hardened substance which will remain hard. And so since it's irreversible, so therefore it loses its iser kares. But if I just solidified it with the sun, with the heat of the sun, so that is reversible, and so therefore it's the iser kares remains. Now remember, by the way, because this part, you have to remember this point in order to get us through the next steps of the Gemara. Remember the correlation, that there's an iser kares of eating blood only when it's fit to be sprinkled onto the Mizbeach. Right? The Pasuk says, Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh. We know that blood that's sprinkled on the Mizbeach is Dam HaNefesh. So remember that correlation, because if you do, so then you will follow the next lines of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Kan Sheikva Bechama Be'or Lo Hadar Bechama Hadar. Okay, so the Gemara says, the Gemara says it, that if I solidify with fire, it's irreversible, it's hard, it will remain hard. If I solidify it with the sun, it is reversible. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Bechamanami lema ho v'idche idche." So the Gemara says, "I don't understand, because what you're telling me is that the Ze'iri's halacha, the Braisa's halacha, not Ze'iri, the Braisa's halacha is describing blood that was congealed and hardened by the heat of the sun." And what you're telling me is that, well, because it's reversible, so therefore it can bring it back to its liquid state. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Even if that's true, once you harden it, it becomes disqualified from the Mizbeach. And we know the halacha of Dichui. We see it time and again. That something, once something is rejected from the Mizbeach, even if it comes back to a non-rejected state, it always remains rejected. Kaven shenidcha nidcha. Once rejected, always rejected. So the Gemara says, and once it's rejected from the Mizbeach, it no longer has the status of kares if you were to eat it. So the Gemara says, even if you're right, even if solidified blood through the heat of the sun is reversible, but kaven shenidcha nidcha. Dahabamine rabbi, Mani me Rav Yochanan dan shekar shva achlo mahu armalei hol v'nidche yidche. And Rav Yochanan actually says those very words. Once it's rejected from the mizbeach, you're not going to be chayiv kares for eating such blood. And this is a strong question and ishtik. And Rava, when Rava hears that, Rava doesn't know how to respond. He's quiet. Okay, armalei. So now Abaye offers a suggestion. And remember, this is the part I really like in the Gemara. When Abaye challenges, Abaye leaves Rava speechless, and then Abaye comes in to save, because it's not debate, meaning they're not debating one another to hit over each other over the head. Right? Who's right, who's wrong, I'm right, you're wrong. That's not the purpose of this. The purpose of this is in order to seek the truth. It's a search for truth. And so even though Abaye has stumped Rava, then what Abaye is going to do is himself going to give a suggestion. Let's defend Ze'iri, even against the Braisa. So Amar Lei, Dilma Vada Kan Bechatas HaChitzonos Kan Bechatas HaPnimis. Okay. Maybe we can make a distinction between outer Chatas and inner Chatas. Okay, what does that mean? Now, by the outer Chatas, we know that you have to take the blood and sprinkle it onto the outer Chatas. Inner chatas, same, but not exactly the same. Remember, by the inner chatas, what do you need to do? We talked about this many times. You need to take your finger, put it into the blood, and sprinkle it with your finger. That's only going to work if it's a liquid. If it's a solid, you can't take your finger and put it into the... There's nothing to put it into. Okay. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is, the difference between Ze'iri and the Braisa is which chatas blood are we talking about? Because if it's outer chatas, it could still work even if it's hardened and solidified. If it's inner chatas, it can't work if it's solidified because I can't put my finger in. Okay. Amar, and when Rava hears this suggestion of Abaye, the light bulb goes off. Amar, Ad kartan milsa da amar of chista dam shikarish bechatas va'achlu chayev v'lakach v'nasan amar achmana v'hai bar lakicha v'nistinahu bechatas ha'panimis va'achlu pater v'tavol v'hiz amar achmana v'hai la bar tvila v'azahu. And Rava says light bulb went off, ding, that's exactly correct. Right, if it's an outer chata, it's blood of the outer chatas, yeah. The only requirement is to take it and to sprinkle it. I know it's going to be an awkward sprinkling when it's congealed, but still, in other words, the idea is just simply to throw it against the wall of the outer mizbeach. Check. If it's the inner, if it's dama panimi, well, there I have to take my finger in and stick it in and take my finger out and sprinkle with my finger. If it's congealed, I can't do that. Okay, good. Good. So we have successfully defended Ze'iri. Okay, and by the way, Rava, Abaye defended Ze'iri, that the difference is between outer chatas blood versus inner chatas blood. The Rava didei Amar, afilu bechatas apnimis va'achlu chayav, hol chenegaray bechatas chitzona. And Rava says, look, now I'll express my opinion. Meaning up until now, that was Ze'iri's opinion. But now let me express my own opinion. My own opinion is, blood that gets congealed, still going to be chayav kares. Why? Because even though you're right, I can't put my finger in and sprinkle it, but that blood would work for the outer mizbeach, and since it qualifies for at least one type of avoda, even though this happens not to be that blood, it doesn't matter. As long as it could qualify in another scenario, it still is considered, you're still going to be chayev.
The thing is, hasn't it changed its status completely?
Right.
Even on the outside, it's not blood anymore.
Right, that's exactly what we're discussing, meaning you might have thought that the whole status has changed. Amrav Papa, Rav Papa says, if you take this to the logical conclusion, Hilkach Dam Chamor Shekarash, if you have blood of a donkey. Now, when we get to Krisus, we're going to actually talk about this in more depth. But blood is usur regardless of which animal it comes from. Meaning, we're not allowed to eat the meat of a donkey. Okay? And its blood is also going to be usur, but the isur blood of an animal, of a donkey, is also going to be an isur dam. Right? And you're going to be chayav kares. What if the blood congeals? Same story. Again, why? Since it's fit for the chatas chitzona. Meaning, as Rashi explains, certainly not that blood, the blood of a donkey you can never use on the outer mizbeach. Right? There's no such thing as a non-kosher animal being brought as a carbon. But again, you're using Rava's concept. Conceptually, since another type of blood could be used on the outer chatas, so you see that congealing is not a big deal. So we go to any blood, even blood that can't be used on the mizbeach, and the idea is congealing is not going to change its status. It's still going to be chayav kares. Okay, a little bit more tangent, and then we're going to come back to salting. Amrav Gidol Amaziri Dam Bein Lach Bein Yavish Chotzeis. The Gemara quotes another halacha by Ze'iri, which happens to go against a Mefurish Mishnah. Blood, whether it's liquid or whether it's solid, poses a chatzitza, it will be a chatzitza. I never have a good English word for chatzitza. It'll block. It'll be a blocker.
Interposition.
Okay. Chatzitza just makes more sense to me.
But you,
okay. It blocks. Meaning if you go into the mikvah if you have a congealed piece of blood on your skin, so that will be a chatzitza. And Ze'iri says whether it's a liquid or whether it's a solid. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Mishnah Nida, right? Mm-hmm. I might not be right. It might not be a Mishnah Nida. But Okay, it's not. Doesn't matter. Right, it's a brisa. Meitzvei hadam v'hadiyah v'hadvash v'achal v'yaveshim chotzitzim lachem eina chotzitzim. The Mishnah over here, the brisa over here, gives us a list of liquids. When they're liquid, they're not chotzitzim. It's blood and ink and honey and milk. If they're in their liquid form, they don't serve as a chitzitza. So the Gemara says, Lo kasha had desrich had lo desrich. So the Gemara says, well, we could talk about levels of viscosity. Meaning if it's a very viscous and very thick and almost solid-like, so then that'll be a chatzitza, whereas the iri, and the, I'm sorry, that was the iri was talking about, whereas opposed to the word this brisa that we just quoted, is that it's super liquid. In other words, it's in its very liquid form, and that's when it's not going to be a chatzitza. Okay, the Gemara says, and that could be, again, another defense of Ze'iri, even though Ze'iri seems to be blatantly contradicting a brisa. Okay, after the tangent. Right. Okay, we're going to go back now to our halacha of salting. Let's go back to the pasuk. Let's become familiar with the pasuk because we're going to go and we're going to darshan the pasuk. Somebody asked me yesterday, well, how much salt do you put on? Now, it's today's daf, meaning we're about to learn it, right? I didn't prepare today's daf yesterday, so I didn't remember from 7.5 years ago.
Oh,
okay, so, but now hopefully this is why we do it again. We review, and this time hopefully we'll remember. So how much salt do I put on? So again, let's just first become familiar with the pasuk again. The pasuk says again, Parshas Vayikra, Perek Beis, right after the description of the menachos. So v'chol karban menchas chab b'melach timlach. So you salt it with salt. V'lo sashbis, and don't stop. Melech bris alokecha, say covenant salt. Me'al menchasecha, al kol karbancha takriv melach. On every karban you're going to put salt. Okay? And now the Gemara is going to do what it does. It darshens. Timlach. You will salt my asa lekedetanya. What is that word coming to add to the whole discussion? Right, the pasuk says ba melach timlach. You salt it with salt. Right, salt is a verb. Salt is a noun. Right, in English, by the way, it works the same way as well. Right,
you have to repeat it just as you can salt it.
Right, and right. So timlach my asa lekedetanya. The Gemara says. So what is coming to teach us? So the following brisa ba melach. So we start with the word ba melach. Yachol tivonehu. I might think tivonehu. You notice how I didn't translate it. Okay, that makes for a very good rebbe. The just no translation. The Gemara later on will tell us what that word means. Okay, yachol tivonehu tamalam or timlach. E timlach yachol b'mei melach. Salt water. How about dipping it in salt water? The Gemara Pesach is coming up. So, by the way, your carpus, you don't dip it in salt water, do you?
Yeah, but
you do dip in salt water?
Vinegar.
In vinegar, you dip it in vinegar. Salt water. Okay. Rambam says to dip it in charoset. I know now is not the time to discuss these things.
We do that too.
You dip, but the carpus, I'm saying. The carpus?
Yeah.
But that's like part of the carpus. That's achilles.
Okay, we'll talk about this later. It's not. Not for now. Sorry. Yachol b'mei melach. So I might think to dip it in salt water. Tamalomra b'melach. So the Gemara says b'melach. No, it has to actually be salt. You dip it in salt. So b'melach, I'm sorry. V'lo sashbis. We continue in the pasuk. So melach habam. I'm sorry. V'lo sashbis melach. So habam melach she'enu shoveses. So in other words, you have to look at salt that never stops. Salt that never stops. I read that Gemara last night. I don't know what was going on. Salt that never stops. So Rashi explains, what does that mean, salt that never stops? I'm sorry, the Gemara goes on to explain. Shena Shavesas, Vezuzu Melech Sedomis. It refers to Sodomite salt, right? Salt that comes from Sodom, right? Dead Sea salt. It's there all year round, Rashi explains. It's there in the winter, in the summer. You're going to find salt there all year round.
It's convenient that it's right near
Beer Shalom. All right, correct. Maybe melach istrok niz. Now, if for whatever reason you can't get Dead Sea salt, so what do? You get istrok niz. Rashi explains this is salt which is mined. Mined, and it has to be mined, and it has to be processed. And the Brisa says it's okay. Now, you might have thought it's not okay. It has to be totally natural salt. No, even if it's processed, it's okay. Tamalam or takriv, takriv kol shehu. Takriv mikomakom. Takriv afil b'shabbos. Takriv afil b'tzoma. Okay, and the Braisa says, I do it, I salt. I salt under any circumstance. I salt on Shabbos. I salt even b'tzoma. Meaning a bicarbon seabor. If the majority of the Jewish people are tame, you salt nevertheless. Okay? We'll come back, we'll discuss all these points. Now, my tivoneu, the first part of the Braisa, ad kan divrei ha-Braisa. And now, after quoting the Braisa, the Gemara does what it normally does, it dissects. Each line of the Braisa gets explored and explained. My tivoneu amarava barula achi kama yachol yizboninu kitevin betit. I might have thought that you put a lot of salt in. Now, back in Egypt, we used to make bricks. And we had to put the tevin, we had to put the straw into the mortar in order so that it gets strong and it gets adhesive. Now, yachol, I might have thought similarly, the word, right, tivonehu would mean yizbonenu, meaning like a tremendous amount of salt. Amalei abai ihache yizbonenu mibaye. If that's what the Braisa meant, the Braisa should have doubled up on the nun. So Elam Rabbi Yachol Yaasenu Kibinyan. I might have thought make it like a building. Pile the salt high so that it looks like a building. Again, basically the same half of me, it's just a question of what does the word Tivonehu indicate? Amalei Rabbi Yahachi Yivonenu. If it meant build it like a building, put a lot of salt on so that it like takes on the shape of a building. So Yivonenu would have been by Eli. Ela Marava. So Rava offers a third shot in what the Braisa meant. Yachol Tivonehu. I might have thought, my Tivonehu, what does that mean? Amravashi Yachol Yitin Bota'am Kibina. Understanding. What does that mean, understanding? On the side of the Gemara, he quotes in the name of the Aruch. It means salt to taste. Meaning, you know, right, the soup comes to you on Friday night. A little bit of salt. Enough salt so that I know the difference between before we're salted versus after we're salted. Tamalama timlach. It means give a healthy amount of salt. It's funny, in the first two explanations of the Braisa, the Havamina was heap it on. And then the Maskana is, no, don't heap it on. In the third possible pshat of the Braisa, we went the other direction. In other words, just a little bit, Gemara says, no, a healthy amount. Okay. So good. So what's a healthy amount? So Kate said, maybe I even know sin alav melach, v'chose v'hofcho, v'know sin alav melach, uma alehu. Okay, so, at the end of the day, at the end of the daf, at the end of the amud, I'm still not 100% sure. It means salted, right? A healthy amount. I'm not sure what that means, but turn it over, salt the other side a healthy amount, and offer it up. Amar Abaye v'chein l'kedera. And Abaye says, oh, by the way, chein l'kedera. Meaning there are two ways that we could prepare meat. We could roast it, we could cook it. Or you can eat it raw, but right? But the when you're going to cook it, so you know what the problem is. The problem is that the blood's in the meat. And you got to extract the blood from the meat. So you got to give it a healthy amount of salt. I know this is a halachas of melicha. If you're going to roast it, you don't got to put a healthy amount because the fire is going to extract the blood. Again, when we get to creases, we'll discuss this in more detail. So, and also the Gemara in Chulin discusses this also. So the point is that how do I salt it for a carbon? The same way I would salt it if I were to cook it, meaning to extract the blood. Tana Rabbanan, let's go a little bit further for this morning. Melech Sha'agabi Ha'Evra Mo'alan Bo. Sha'av Agav Sha'a. I'm sorry. Mo'alan bo. Sha'agabe ha'kefesh ha'barosh ha'sham izbech. Ein mo'alan bo. Salt. If I salt it on the ramp, if I salt it while it's on the top of the mizbeach, some karbanos get salted there. By the salt, there's no longer a din of me'ila. One of the most basic rules of me'ila is once you do the mitzvah, once you're nases mitzvasa, there's no longer a din of me'ila. So the mitzvah is to salt. Once salted, that's it, the mitzvah was done. So there's no longer an Isser of Me'ilah by the salt. Okay, we're going to stop over here. We're going to pick it up tomorrow at the two dots. Tomorrow's discussion, who pays for the salt? right? There's a requirement to salt every carbon. Now, the carbon itself comes from out of my own pocket, meaning if I'm bringing my own personal carbon, do I have to bring my own salt to the base of Mikdash? Whose responsibility is to pay for the salt? Okay, tomorrow we'll talk about that. We'll quote Mishnayos and Shkalim. Okay, good discussions to be had tomorrow.